Welcome to the Generations Broadcast, friends. This is Kevin Swanson, host of the program, more importantly, a father of five, broadcasting from our basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool our children. We also have a Shepherd Center out here working with seven or eight young men who are helping to produce the radio program and the television broadcast that will be broadcast on American Family Association television network. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. That's right, everything's coming apart. Faith, family, and freedom coming apart. Of course, all wonderful, wonderful remnants of the Christian worldview that we received through Europe and through the ministry of men like Peter and Paul, and of course later on Patrick and Columbanus and others who spread the gospel through Europe in the 600s. So here we are now in the 21st century. Christianity is about dead. And the remnants of what Christians produced over a number of years, including the empires, are starting to crumble. And Dave, as we talk about empires, the first thing that comes to my mind is the towers of men. Now, again, the approach, the biblical world and life view that we see coming through a Christian worldview establishes the freedom, the decentralization, the covenantalized, federalized states of America in the 1600s and 1700s. But inevitably, the humanists like to show up. Once Christians get something started in Europe and then in America, the humanists show up and say, forget Christ, forget the fear of God, let's purge all that out of education, and let's develop our own empires sans God, without God. And that's what we see happening in Europe, in America. And once they develop those towers, those their own empires, which typically are characterized by large centralization of power, huge federal governments, and the building of typically very, very large cities, inevitably they fall down. And this is the lesson that Francis Schaeffer gave us. Now, Francis Schaeffer, a very important Christian philosopher whom we have read and benefited from, and I hope many others have as well. Francis Schaeffer traces Western civilization and the decline of it, and the rise of the humanist renaissance, and the eventual collapse of these humanist empires. And he compares what happened to Rome with what's happening today. And these, I think, Dave, are legitimate comparisons. And it was either Schaeffer or R.J. Rushdoony who said, man builds his biggest towers just before the empires collapse. And I think he's right there. I think he's got something there. Man builds his largest empires just before the empires come crashing down. And the largest tower in the world has just been built, and it's now in operation. It's the Burj Dubai Tower. It's got the largest, tallest building title in the world right now. It beat out the KVLY TV mast in Blanchard, North Dakota.
In North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Wow.
So it's taller than the TV tower in North Dakota. Man has built a very, very large tower. And we're not saying that building towers or building a building more than 2 to 3 stories is inherently wrong or sinful, malamon say. But we are saying that man tends to build these things because man is proud. Man wants to centralize power. Man wants to show what he has accomplished. Man does this out of a spirit of arrogance. He builds his empires out of a spirit of arrogance. And if you want to read a really good book on this, Augustine's City of God covers these sorts of things. And what Augustine says is that man builds his empires based on a desire for self-power and self-glory. And this is what we find, the very beginning of the building of the city of man at the Tower of Babel. Go to, let us make a name for ourselves. We will build a city and the tower and make a name for ourselves. And God eventually showed up and broke that thing down. He decentralized. In a sense that they spoke in different languages. They couldn't centralize because they had different cultures and languages that developed out of those languages. And Dave, I think this Babel principle continues day in and day out, year in and year out. As man builds his towers, God brings them all down. And as man builds his projects through power and a desire for glory, God breaks them down again and again and again.
And we look at the history of empires and we see that men build these shrines to their own ingenuity. And as they do that, they make a name for themselves. Exactly as happened at Babel, exactly as happened in Dubai. Why did they build this particular structure? Was it because they were landlocked and there was no more land out in the desert? I say to you, no. They built this building, this tall, for the title. the tallest building in the world for the publicity, because they knew even little shows like this would be talking about the new Dubai Towers. Why did they build that huge monstrosity in the middle of Midtown Manhattan back in the 1920s, known as the Empire State Building? Because it was a monument to the empire. It was a monument to self. It would be the tallest building that man had ever done. And humanism would triumph. And we'd have this shrine to how creative our ingenuity. And we could do it without God.
And the irony of this all, Dave, is that there's two ironies here. The number one irony is that Dubai is falling apart economically right now. So just before the entire economy collapses, they get this entire building up, and it'll lie empty in the years to come, I believe, if the Islamist terrorists don't make it before that happens.
Well, it's ironic that this is one of the few places in the world you would dare build the tallest building in the world. Because you're not really worried about your brothers flying airplanes into your building, because it's an Islamic country.
Although, Dave, you know, the Muslims have been known for not being able to get along with the humanists and not being able to get along with each other. So I think anytime you build a large building, whether it be in New York or Dubai or anywhere else, you're always risking some Islamic terrorist organizations, which, by the way, are very anarchical and tend to pick on tyrannies, large centralized tyrannies, quite a bit. You're risking that the destruction of your towers. And this is one reason why I think the future cities are not going to exist as they have in the past 100 years. Because the minute you start centralizing people and power in one particular area, all the terrorists that happen to show up from the hordes rushing in from the Middle East, and by the way, we have 10 times more Muslims, and I'd say probably 100 times more Muslim extremists than we had 100 years ago, there's been a huge increase. Now there's 1 billion Muslims around the world, and these people, I think, are going to play the part of the hordes during the fall of Rome. Remember when Rome fell? You had all the hordes that God had prepared. But believe me, folks, this is all God's problem. God is in control of what happens. He raises up these tribes, these hordes, to come down and disrupt the large empires. And Dave, I think this kind of thing is going to happen with many of the large empires. You're going to see the hordes. You're going to see the Muslim extremists blowing up lots and lots and lots and lots of towers in the years to come, only because tyranny invites it. Tyranny invites anarchy. It's the way man is without the redemption of Jesus Christ. The solution for all of this, of course, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, of course, is the Prince of Peace. But without Jesus, and the Muslims don't have Jesus, without Jesus, and the humanists don't have Jesus, Dubai Tower does not have Jesus, America does not have Jesus, our large empire does not have Jesus anymore. We don't fear him. We don't accept him as our Redeemer and our Savior, because I think Barack Obama was supposed to be the Messiah. Dave, you know, in the end, we're going to wind up with a lot of anarchy breaking up these tyrannies. I'm sorry, that's just the way the world goes.
Well, I think also, and we look at the post-Christian nations, those nations in Western Europe and parts of America were once Christian. The will to survive has ceased. All that's left is building towers here and there. We don't have the will to fight off the hordes. Much like Rome didn't have the will to fight off the hordes. We'd rather escape into our little TV programs, or we'd rather live our little nihilistic vision of life. And the Muslims still have a will. And so I think in places, we will fall without a fight. The hordes will just come in because they're invited in, much like happened in Rome.
Well, folks, the towers are coming down. Here we sit on the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, trying to stay away from the towers because we don't want large pieces of concrete falling upon our houses. In just a moment, we're going to talk about the decline of the American empire. Right now, we are living in remarkable times in America. Folks, we are witnessing the decline of America right now. It began 10 years ago. Be back in just a moment to talk about the end of America. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com.
You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of Generations with Vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Brother Dave also in studio with me, and witnessing the decline, the fall of America. It's amazing. Dave, I would never have expected that this empire, this nation, would have collapsed in just 10 years.
You know, we were just talking off air, and if you had told me during the Reagan 80s that what has happened in just this last year would happen in my lifetime, I would have thought you nuts.
Yeah.
I would say there's no way the government could spend, what, $8 trillion, give it a blank check to Fannie Mae, a bankrupt organization, that would take over General Motors, that the pillars of society would be falling, that families would be falling, the church would be in the shape. I would have called you nuts. I would have said, you're just a doom and gloomer.
Well, a couple articles here right in front of me. Pat Buchanan comments on this. According to the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. began the century, meaning 2000, producing 32% of the world's GDP. We ended the decade producing 24%. That's huge, folks. No nation in modern history, save for the late Soviet Union, has seen so precipitous a decline in relative power in a single decade. We're talking, we have fallen off the cliff. We are no longer the nation we once were. And it's amazing because this nation was by far the most productive nation on the face of the earth, the most prosperous nation, the most free nation, certainly the most charitable nation on the face of the earth. But we are falling apart right now. We are in decline. We are watching Rome fall right now. You wanted to know what it was like watching Rome fall? Now, personally, I think America is about 100 times larger than Rome. Okay, maybe 20, 30 times larger than Rome. Our empire is significantly larger. We have way more cities as large as Rome or larger than Rome than the Roman Empire ever had. We are a humongous empire. We are the largest, most powerful empire on the face of the earth. We think we control the entire world. But we're in decline. And we've said this for a little while. We've talked about education being in decline for 20, 30 years. Character of the nation fell off 30, 40 years ago. Character of the nation isn't what it once was. And of course, everybody knows. This is a big no-brainer. The Greeks knew this. Romans knew this. Christians know this. Everybody knows. Anybody with a brain knows that without a character in a nation, without character infused into the life of young men, who, by the way, there's only 30% of young men are grown up by 30 years of age right now, and that's down from 70% in 1970, we see the decline of character in this nation just free-falling right now. And that's the effect has eventually dominoed into our debt situation, our economy, our political situation. And, Dave, I think it's going to affect our military in the years to come. Here's a very interesting article in the London Financial Times. America no longer the leader of the free world. We're losing our friends. This is London Financial Times. Just came out a day or so ago. Ever since 1945, the U.S. has regarded itself as the leader of the free world. But the Obama administration is facing an unexpected, unwelcome development in the global politics. Four of the biggest and most strategically important democracies in the developing world, Brazil, India, South Africa, Turkey, are increasingly at odds with American foreign policy. Rather than siding with the U.S. on the big international issues, they are just as likely to line up with authoritarian powers such as China, Iran, Russia. Okay, our friends are not our friends anymore. Our friends are saying, hey, we're going to hang out with China and Russia and Iran. But the assumption that the world's democracies will naturally stick together is proving unfounded. The latest example came from Copenhagen, which, by the way, is kind of a joke. The climate summit? Big joke. You haven't heard much about it from any of the powers that be anymore. It kind of fell apart. Everybody went there.
It was a little cold there between the contestants contesting for the big piece of the pie.
It was a little cold there. On the last day of the talks, the Americans tried to fix up one-on-one meetings between Mr. Obama and the leaders of South Africa, Brazil, and India, but failed each time. The Indians said, Prime Minister already left for the airport, so, you know, take off. Mr. Obama must have felt something of a chump when he arrived for last-minute meetings with Wen Jiabao, the Chinese Prime Minister, only to find him already deep in the negotiations with the leaders of none other than Brazil, South Africa, and India. Symbolically, the leaders had to squeeze up to make space for the American president around the table. And in the end, they didn't agree with the whole, you know, American approach to the climate control. They just had no interest in following what America was saying. Well, folks, the point being, America is no longer the leader in the free world. America is losing its economic edge in the world, and it will continue to lose its edge. We are deeper in debt. We're more indebted to any country in the world than we ever have been before. We were at the beginning of this nation's history in debt to nations like France and Netherlands and maybe to some extent to England. But now we are in debt to China, who happens to be a communist country. We are in debt to China to the tune of about $1 trillion. That's the largest indebted nation to which we are indebted in the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now America is falling apart. The nation is collapsing. What things will look like in 20, 30 years, you know, I have a hard time imagining, but I would guess that America will see some significant wars. I mean, that's the one thing that seems to ring true to me. In the past, God has blessed us with peace. In the past, God has blessed us with a few presidents who were not intensely imperialistic. Some were somewhat imperialistic, but they weren't real imperialistic. We tend to be the kind of people that wanted to walk softly, carry a big stick, kind of keep people off our shores. We had presidents who would defend our nation. And I think to that extent, we were a God-blessed nation. We didn't have power-hungry people want to take over the world and engage in war all the time. And we had a nation who could defend itself. We didn't have many people invading our soil since the War of 1812. I don't think anybody invaded our soil since the War of 1812. By the way, the Japanese launched a few bombs into the state of Oregon, maybe to California, through pontoon boats in World War II. But with maybe that exception, America has not been invaded since the War of 1812. I will make the exception for the attack on the Twin Towers, though, so that would be an attack on American soil. But for the most part, Americans have been very free. Our families have been very safe. And Dave, we ought to thank God for that, but I'm sorry, that's not going to last much longer. Why? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's why. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. But I'm sorry, our ways don't please the Lord. You kill 50 million of his babies, God's not going to be happy with you. I'm sorry, that's just the way it works. So as a nation, Dave, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. I think it's time right now for people to prepare for war. On our soil, on this soil. I mean, I'm talking foreign nationals with guns, with bombs on this soil. I think we're up for that in the next 20 to 30 years. I don't know, maybe sooner, but 20 to 30 years.
And I think we ought to be prepared for an all-out civil war as well. There is certainly no unity in this country. This president is no unifier. But you look at what we have done. We have decimated the family. We have killed children, some 5,000 a day on the average. We have gone and done wholesale stealing, theft, in this socialist system of ours. We have made men unproductive during their productive years through forced retirements and social security programs. And then that becomes an entitlement to them. And they would rather have the chains of the slavery in order for the benefit of that entitlement rather than freedom. We've been weaned off liberty and been made addicts to this crack cocaine of socialism. We no longer seek the liberty of the law of God. We no longer seek to bless our neighbor with our earnings. We no longer love children. We no longer value marriage. We've given up the ghost here in America. There is a remnant of people, and I don't want to dismiss that there are many, many faithful Christians here in America, but even Christianity is fading and dying quickly by our systems and by our practices. It's difficult these days to find a church that still believes the law of God is the law of God and that God's law is law. We have given up so much, and yet we have been so blessed as a nation. We have been so prospered in liberty.
Dave, and that heritage is important, and I want people to remember that heritage. Because people who say, oh, the sky is falling, there is no hope, the empires are coming down, there's war on our soil, we will never have another opportunity to establish a place of peace and freedom and righteousness anywhere on planet Earth, are dead wrong. It's happened before. It can happen again. And Dave, what is happening in international politics right now? The decentralizing effects that are coming are going to feed right into the kingdom of God. It's going to open up tremendous opportunities for us. I think, personally, I think we are seeing an opportunity where we will be able to engage and establish free nations where we have not had that opportunity for maybe 100, 150 years of the last period of empire building. Now, granted, America was somewhat of an anomaly. Yet you had a lot of empires. You had a lot of humanism that was working strongly in the hearts of men throughout the Renaissance and 1500, 1600, 1700s with the British Empire, the French Empire, and so forth. And God was eliminated from education. And you had the big centralized powers, and you had tyranny develop in the modern world. But that tyranny is going to go away. We're going to see that eventually dissolve into more of an anarchical system. So it will give, I think, us opportunity, as God's kingdom always has opportunity to grow, which means that hopefully there'll be people out there who say, you know, I'm giving up on this idea that power is the real name of the game. I'm going to give up on this idea that my goal in life is to build the big towers. My goal in life is centralized power and to take over the world. If we can get a few people, a few leaders out there saying, you know, that's not my goal. Actually, my goal is to disciple the nations. My goal is to establish decentralized systems of education, decentralized systems of governments, decentralized communities. I want to restore relationships. I want to rebuild communities in smaller towns. I don't want these large towers where people buy a condo on the 48th floor and they never see their neighbors and they never engage and they're always wandering about in the unaccountable city of man where there aren't any real relationships. There's just walls everywhere. No, I want to open a community. I want to live in an area where there are opportunities to meet your neighbors. I want front porches again. I want some front porches. I want to know my neighbors. I want courtyards. Remember, Dave, there were some European nations that still had courtyards because people were relational. People got to know each other. People had decentralized forms of community. I think our architecture is going to change. I have a lot of hope for the future. I do. Now, we're going to go through a period of time where all these towers and these efforts to build these large centralized, de-relationalized systems are going to come down. But I think we're going to have opportunities to rebuild a Christian way of community.
Kevin, I really think that this is not the time to spend our time feeling sorry for ourselves. This is a great opportunity. Seldom in history do men have the opportunity to do so much for the kingdom of God. Now, what we build will not look like the empires we've seen and are used to. We're not going to be building the skyscrapers or even the cathedrals, but rather we're going to understand that every man is a temple to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to build a community and lots of communities that are built on relationships and built on the glory of God, not on the ingenuity of man. That's not to say that God gives us ingenuity, it's wrong to practice it. But as we practice it, it is only to give God glory. This new society that we have an opportunity here to envision and to start building, this is a historic opportunity. I clearly believe that the United States was, at its founding, the outgrowth of the Scottish Reformation. And we were tremendously blessed early on, but the French Enlightenment got to our shores and humanism got here rather quickly. And we started seeing the empire building. But we still had that remnant of righteousness that came from the Scottish Covenanters and the Puritans that came to the soil, who loved God above everything else, and they blessed this land. Now for almost 400 years, this land has been blessed by that heritage. We have an opportunity, a historic opportunity, I believe, to bring a blessing back to this land that many men would have given their lives for to have that role in history. And I think it's coming to our doorstep.
It's too bad, Dave, that the humanists seem to always capture control of a great experiment. I mean, you know, we get something decent going, whether it be in the church. I think the humanists did get control of the church in the 1200s and 1300s. We're talking about the Christian church in Europe. Humanists love to take control of good things. And they took control of the church. They took control of the state. The humanist renaissance eventually took control of the states in Europe. And the humanist renaissance eventually took control of the American experiment, which, by the way, was a great experiment at the beginning. We have great roots. We have a great foundation in this country. But the humanists grabbed control of it. And they did so primarily by grabbing control of the schools. And that's why we continually get back to education on this program. Until we can bring education back into a biblical worldview and a biblical way of thinking, my friends, we're going to lose every other battle. Fighting the political battles, fighting the homosexual marriage battle, fighting the abortion issue, fighting any of these things without addressing the basic issue that sets the direction for the next generation is fruitless. You've got to address the schools and education. All right, folks, here is the agenda that I would suggest as we move into the future. Now, the future is going to be dangerous, and granted, we always have challenges and struggles, but our challenges and struggles are great opportunities. And we can build some wonderful things in the challenges and difficulties in the years to come. And I think we're going to have the best opportunities we've ever had. That's why we're preparing our children for the future, because these opportunities are opening up right now. And as I wrote my second Mayflower, and you can get a copy of the second Mayflower at kevinswanson.com if you'd like to, but I have set out an agenda for what we want to do, the vision that we will set out for our children and our grandchildren as they lay out a second Mayflower, which is birthed out of a first Mayflower. And I believe it's happening right now across this country. There are millions of people. I mean, maybe 1 or 2 million. It's not 10 million, but it's millions of people that are coming together right now and gaining a vision that was spawned in the first Mayflower 400 years ago, but is still beating in the hearts of people across this country. And this vision is coming back. And here is my agenda. It's the reunification of the family and decentralization of business, the re-empowerment of the family, discipleship and education. We've got to bring the family back in education, care for elderly parents, inheritance. This is vital for a second Mayflower vision, folks. The reviving of church relationships, God-centered worship, a healthy diaconate where the church is taking care of the poor, not the state. The decentralization of civil government and the application of God's law to family, civil government, economics, education, and culture. Those are my 5 points. Those are the basic foundational points for the development of a second Mayflower. And I hope you can gain a vision for this. We've got to work it into the psyche and the life of our children and our grandchildren. Grab a copy of The Second Mayflower. It's a visionary book, a book that describes the realities, the cold, hard realities of the day in which we live. We're losing our freedoms. Yes, we are. But it also is a voice of hope, a cry in the wilderness for something that is possible. I believe it is possible if God's people pull together and begin to bring His law, His vision into every area of life, not just civil magistrate, but the family, the church, education, every single aspect of life. Get a copy of this book, and hopefully you too can participate in an exciting vision that we're laying down for the next generation. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Think about that. The worst recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will this be an international depression? Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? I don't know. What do you think? Be reasonable about this. Will the greatest debtor nation in the world survive? What do you think? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother, and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now.